The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Parky, are you comfortable? You stop messing with your mate.
I am, yes. It's a nervous twitch I've got, Adrian. You should know after all these years.
Nervous twitch is where you pull your mate down and it's near enough around your forehead.
Nervous twitch. Oh, that's okay. You can still hear me, can't you?
Go on, pull it down. Pull it down. Go on.
Okay, just one more.
Mandy,
one more squeak.
That's
there
not
you go.
My back or the chairs or anything. That's definitely Parky pulling the mic down.
That's definitely Dave getting it wrong again.
Welcome to the Final Hooter, the show on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General as we talk rugby league. And we finally made it, haven't we? After all those games and Super 8s and qualifying 8s and Mega 8s, not so Mega 8s.
Are you creating new competitions for us?
Well, the RFL do it every year, so I might as well go like that. Yeah, we finally made it to the Hawthorne Stadium. The Championship had their big day out. We got to Old Trafford and the Grand Final had their big day out. Everyone happy other than the losers?
You know what? I'm actually going to say, yeah. And this is from a Lee fan, with Lee finishing bottom of the qualifiers. Which I know you wasn't actually tipping, but way back when.
Not laughing, honestly.
I know, well, you just did.
I apologise to Paul Roy because he lit me.
Stop it. But, yeah.
Just don't say it again because I'll start laughing again.
What I will say, though, is that I do feel that there's a few tweaks that need to be done to this current system.
Oh, go on. Do share with us.
Well, you know, the tweaks that I would make would be probably start off with a League of Eight, then you get intense games every week, wouldn't you?
Speaking of a team that saved the bacon, Wakefield finally did it in the £1 million game.
Yeah, had an interesting stat, didn't you?
Well done to the Wildcats. Only their sixth win out of 30.
An amazing stat, that
amazing
really,
stat,
isn't
it? But it saves them and makes them £1 million.
Yeah, gets them in Super League next season. But what the point that I was going to make was actually, as well as maybe reducing it just so as that we play eights anyway, which might be Rugby League's long-term plan ahead of all this this sort of eights business. How do you feel about Championship clubs being given the same salary cap as Super League ones if they can afford it?
Be a good idea if they could afford it. I think that's the big question, isn't it? Can they afford it?
As long as they could personally guarantee it, as long as somebody involved at that club could personally guarantee, what's the problem?
It all depends. I mean, obviously, the TV deals and sponsorship money and all that stuff, but it all depends whether the Big 12 within Super League want to share the pie a little bit more.
Well, no, it wouldn't necessarily, because someone could come in with quite a bit of money, you see. Yeah.
So you're going to need, 10 sugar daddies?
You could do, but that's only if Batley wanted to make it into Super League, for example, you know. But why should you stunt somebody else's growth because of the what's in there already? Because at the moment, the way that it's set up, it's ended just as everybody expected. The only team that made anything from this entire prospect and the entire first season of the qualifiers was Halifax, who performed above and beyond, and I was really, really impressed with Halifax, and I've spoken very highly on this show about them over the last few weeks, and certainly over the course of the season I think that Richard Marshall's done a top job there.
Well done, Richard Marshall.
Mm-hmm. See, praise indeed. Can I also eat some
Rory,
humble
before
pie?
Before you move away, yeah.
Go yeah, on. Yeah. Because I said at the start of the season that I didn't think George Williams was a particularly good standoff.
No one did.
And he's
other than Sean Wayne.
Brilliant. He has come on in leaps and bounds. So I, on this show now, will eat my words.
Steve McManara was impressed. And then for the England too. Is that nice?
Just eating my words, yeah, yeah.
Well, like I said, everyone dissed it, but Sean Wayne stuck to his guns.
He
wanted to give him a chance.
And, you know, fair play to Sean Wayne for doing that, because it would have been quite easy for him to, you know, tough the young lad out on his ear, so to speak, and bring somebody else in. But no, he stood by him, and we saw a star flourish, and I think that he's certainly one to look out for, not just in the current spot, but in future as well.
Got plenty to get through, by the way. Plenty of reaction from the Grand Final at Manchester and at Widnes as well. But before we do that, let's talk about the £1 million game. That was settled before anything we ever sorted out regarding playoffs and promotions and Grand Final winners. A big day it was for Bradford Bulls. They were hoping to regain their Super League status. They lost it, and Jimmy Lawes wasn't happy about it, was he?
He wasn't. He's been forced to make an apology since, hasn't
he?
So he
should.
Where he's at, because he criticised the entire system, didn't he, and everything about it. He said that players' lives were on the line.
What was it he said? If that's the future of rugby, don't want to be a part of it?
Yeah, he soon had second thoughts about that, didn't he? But
he did.
I mean, to be fair to Wakefield, you know, nobody's really spoken about their performance on the day. I thought this was a cracking game of rugby, in honesty, and Wakefield did just shade it. Scott Moore, nice to see a customary Lather involved in that final, and scoring the winning try as well right near the end. But he was followed up with Danny Washbrook, Anthony Mullally and Danny Kerman scoring tries. Jordan Tansey kicking three goals, Joe Rundle with the other. Bradford, they fought back valiantly in the second half. I thought they played some really good stuff, actually. Adrian Purtell has been their top player throughout these eights that they've been in. Matty Blythe and Danny Williams also scored tries, with Danny Addy, well, he was a man unconsolable, wasn't he, at the end, because he only kicked two goals, and there was a couple of occasions he had penalties, he had other conversion attempts which went wide.
All in all, good day, to be fair, for Wakefield fans and Bradford fans as well. Obviously disappointed with the results, but it just shows you, you have that carrot of promotion relegation and people will flock to see it, don't they? Just over 7,000 there. Okay, not the biggest attendance, but as many as can get in at the Bellevue Stadium at the moment. But with that £1 million game in mind, I know it's a one-off game and it was at the home advantage of the highest position team. Do you think it might add to the excitement if you had it over two legs?
Yes, I mean, that's how they decide it in the other code of rugby, you know, for a promotion spot.
Think
so
maybe should consider that for next year.
I think that would be a top idea, to be honest, Mr. Jackson. Either that or you take it to a completely neutral venue and pack it out.
Yeah,
because it deserves a game of bigger standing than
I was thinking about that one as well, because obviously the attendance the day after at Widnes wasn't that great for the championship big day out. Just over 4,100 people there for three games. Maybe what they should do then, in fact, if they ain't going to do it over two legs, maybe have it at a neutral venue, but have it on the day of the grand final day out for the championship.
Yeah, or maybe you could have it as a precursor to the Super League grand final. Ooh, now that would be a big one, wouldn't it?
That'd be tasty, that.
That could be, couldn't it? See, we're thinking now, we're thinking.
Speaking about championship days out, it all started rather early for me and you. 11:30.
A bit earlier for me than you.
Honestly, it's even earlier for Warbrow. 6:30 they left their neck of the woods.
That is true. That is true. And on our last show, we did speak to the coaching staff involved. We spoke to Ian Rooney, didn't we? And he was looking forward to that early setup. We had Paul Whitworth in here from the Lee Miners Rangers Club, and well, on the day it ended up with Wathbro actually started superbly. They had opened the scoring with Scott Pink scorching away after about 10 minutes, and by half time Lee Miners had just about took the advantage. They'd scored two tries before the break to lead 12-6. Wathbro levelled it up early in the second half and then had a man sent off, and that really saw Lee Miners take control. They eventually won it by 32 points to 22. Scorers on the day being Andrew Groves, he got two tries, Scott O'Brien got two tries, Jimmy Muir scored a try for Lee Miners, with goals split between Johnny Yodes with 5 and Scott O'Brien with 1. Wathbro Hornets, well, they gave their all over the course of the game, was really impressed with some of the rugby they played as well. Scott Pink scored a try, as we said, Luke Davison grabbed two, and Mark Watson was the other scorer, with Cole Walker-Taylor adding two goals and Fran King, yes, I did say Fran King, kicking one goal.
You mentioned we had Paul Whitworth on our last final. Who you say you caught up with him after that big win against Warbrow? Not just Paul Whitworth, but Alan Coleman as well.
We set a target at the beginning of the year, and you know that. We wanted to be league champions, and that was our be-all and end-all of everything, and we was very successful in that. It was a long time coming, we was nervous building up to it, but we also won this trophy twice, and we feel as though it's ours, and we've got it back. It's coming home to Twist Lane, and we're over the moon. Like I said, we knew it would be a tough game, but the boys in there, we've created a bit of history in our own generation of young players at Lee Miners, because I know the past players have done it, but nobody's ever done the double, so we're history makers at Twist Lane at the moment, so it feels great.
You've got a potential treble coming up then, haven't you, then? I dare say it, so soon after you're lifting that trophy.
Yeah, well, we can focus now on that. We're happy with what we've got, but we're still hungry. We're a very young team who wants to excel in every department, and the treble's on, hopefully. History's on.
Let's look a bit at that game. Obviously, it started off first 10-15 minutes pretty flat, I thought.
Yeah, well, I was with Paul and I said to Paul, I'm going to go down. Paul stayed up doing the stats with Simon, and it was important. We were both in a different area, I thought, because we were trying to get communications on. It wasn't working for some reason, and Akor was a little bit disappointing today, but we'll not take that away from him. I think the second spell when we changed him, it was magnificent. So sometimes it takes a kick up the backside, as we say, to get the best out of somebody, and it certainly did that. Like I said to you before, Dave, I don't think we was at our best today, and that's no discredit to Wathborough in any way. We probably couldn't handle how they played, so it's a credit to them in another way, but we've won and we know how to win big games, so that's important to us.
And if I can just bring Paul in on this, Paul, I suppose when you went 6-0 down, and Alan mentioned about the changing over of the personnel, that really gave a boost, and to get those two tries in 2 minutes seemed to really shock Wathborough at the time, didn't it?
Yeah, to be honest, all season we've not started well for lots of games, and we haven't, like Alan said, we've not been at our best at all. So I mean, one day we're going to get that performance, and we're going to take some to the cleaners. Hopefully, it's a good thing going to the playoffs. We're not, you know, we may have been a bit flat at the final, but there's loads left in us. We're really ready to go again.
And looking at that second half again, it almost took being shook to the foundations, them scoring an early try, for things to pick up, and it was your skipper that did it. It was Scott O'Brien which grabbed a hold of that game.
I thought Scott near the line today really took us forward, and he's a big threat. He makes them nervous. He's got, you know, their energy sort of goes up. They lose the composure in defence because he's got the ball, and that's good for us when he's on the pitch. I mean, it was a struggle to get him on. He saw the first tackle he went down, but you know, he's a tough guy.
Play it tough, don't they, the amateurs?
They do play it tough, and he praised Scott O'Brien there. Brilliant performance.
What a famous old ground it was in amateur rugby league, Twist Lane. Played many games on that field.
Did you?
Never won a game, by the way.
Oh, well, that's part of the course, I hope so. Yeah, I hope that continues for you, mate, to be honest. But
alright, cheers. You couldn't have stood near the noisiest fan ever.
Oh, that was the quietest place I could find for him, to be honest. Yeah, that's not my fault that the play of these games at Tim Pot Council Stadium, is it?
Are you calling the Houghton Stadium a Tim Pot Council Stadium?
Are you calling the place where I'm interviewing folk?
Shall we move on?
Go on.
Yeah, it was a good day, wasn't it, for the amateurs? They enjoyed it. Wathborough, despite losing, would have enjoyed the experience. All right, it's a long coach journey back. But they were very vocal of the fans who made the journey from Cumbria. I was quite impressed with their sing-song, whatever they were singing.
I couldn't tell
or
either.
The brow or something they were singing. But anyway, that starts off the day, and then it got better, didn't it? We had a cracker between Swinton and Keithy for promotion. And then it was John Sharp's Featherstone, who were too strong for London Broncos.
Yeah, I think I was really happy for Swinton, but I was a little bit torn before this game, as we spoke about prior to it, because, you know, Keith may have been the big story in rugby league over the course of the season, but and they also had a prop forward who scored two tries in a game, which doesn't happen that often, does it? But no, Swinton just doing the business. Robinson, Rodri Lloyd, Ben White, Mike Button, Chris Atkin having a great game. Try, four goals and a drop goal. You can't ask for more on the top level, can you?
Good game, wasn't it? Pushed all the way by Keithley. But Keithley, Paul Hanforth had loads of chances for a drop kick and just never took them, did he?
He did.
When he did, he slipped.
Yeah, last couple of minutes, you just thought, they're going to get a leveler here. They're going to get a leveler. They kept working for it and then moving away. Hanforth had then moved the ball either left or right. And then when he did decide to go for it, it was a bit like comedy moment, wasn't it? He just couldn't get his feet. He was sliding around like a prize ice skater.
Yeah, well done to Swinton, eh? Joining Oldham, the greater Manchester clubs, coming through to get promotion from the Championship 1 into the Championship. And the main event was London Broncos. Could Andrew Henderson's Broncos make history? Sadly, they ran into a Featherstone team that wanted to reassert themselves at the top of the tree again.
Yeah, I thought Featherstone Rovers played some good stuff. And as it turned out, there was a lot of those players who ended up playing the last game for Featherstone on that particular day. But they were really impressive, I thought, Featherstone. Them put a lot of attacking prowess together. They brought London on numerous occasions in the first half, and then it just continued in the second half. I thought Matt James in the middle, again, we talk about prop forwards. I mentioned Scott Law before. He's another prop forward who, strangely enough, he's on his way out of Featherstone, but he scored two tries, and it must have been something in the water that day for people getting two tries each. But yeah, Featherstone were way, way too strong. Great performance as well from Gareth Moore. Interesting to see that Halifax have snapped him up next year.
I was on fire that day as well, by the way.
You was on fire?
Yeah, because I should have betted it as well, to being able to name all three men of the matches, and I did.
Really?
Yeah, my votes came out for the ones that all got the awards. See, I was quite impressed with that.
See, I only got one right. I only got the Lee Miners one right.
I got all three right. You copied that answer down off me as well.
No, I didn't. You did. I know Andrew Groves well. I'm sure he'll listen to this and give us the thumbs up.
We've had the winning thoughts of Lee Miners. Let's get the winning thoughts of John Duffy and John Sharp.
As they say, every minute matters, every second matters. So, yeah, I was in my mouth for the last 15 minutes, ranting and raving on touchline like a madman, but the boys dug deep like last week and went through the pain barrier at points in that game and came through with a win.
What was the key to success today?
Just sticking with it and going set for set, and if there was any mistakes, not dwelling on them and just moving on to the next issue. And I thought the guys were very good at that. And then it was just some sacrificial acts at points. You know, the drop goal near the end and Rodri Lloyd comes out and bats it down. You know, things like that don't go amiss, and that's what we asked for before the game.
And, obviously, good team performance, but who was a standout performer in the coach's eye?
I thought our back three were outstanding. I think at half time we'd done 30 dummy half runs. I'm not sure what it is now after full time, but our back three were very good. I thought, you know, some big defensive performances in the middle, you know, on their offloads we were travelling, and you know, everything we asked for. And yeah, I'm just proud of the boys and everyone at the club.
It's a great advert for Rugby League in League One, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Obviously, there's some places you go that are not too good, and you know, you got to try and get your team up mentally for the challenge. But you know, Keith Lee, a fantastic team, as well as York and the other guys who were up there. So yeah, it's a good advert, and not for a coach, but obviously for a neutral fan.
And now for you as a coach, the challenge is now championship next year.
Yeah, massive challenge for us. Just got to keep trying to improve as a coach and as a squad, and we've got a good group of players I want to keep together, and we'll buy some quality now we know where we're at.
It never felt comfortable upstairs watching the game, because I know that they've got some quality players, and I know that the game can turn so quickly. And I think that, looking at how they played last week, I thought that they got some momentum after following their semi-final win at Dewsbury, which was a magnificent effort. And I know that we needed to be on our very best game. I got some concerns about playing against a full-time team who probably and should be fitter than us and have more energy than us. And I just thought the start helped us, gave us a little bit of confidence and settled the nerves down.
You mentioned the start, and you never looked back from that point onwards.
No, I had a real good feeling about the team in the build-up during the week. It was important that we got the balance right between getting them pumped up, but nice and relaxed and not too fired up too soon, because I know that that can take energy out of you as well. So we were very much talking about it, the game being low-key, and very much about just sticking to our jobs and getting the job done. And unfortunately for us, that happened today.
Scored some great tries, but you're also solid in defence as well today.
Yeah, I've been reading all week about the NRL and about Wayne Bennett's teams. I know his teams got beat, but I think on the whole, whether it's rugby league or whether it's football or even snooker, and you know, the old days of Steve Davis, I think it's very much sports built around having a strong defence. I think that's your building blocks, and from that gives you confidence to be able to play. And we scored some great tries, played some great football, and we're very confident with the ball.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General. Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
There you have it, the one and only John Sharp back in the world of rugby league coaching, and he's talking about snooker.
I couldn't believe he came out with that quote, actually. I'll have to listen back again just to sort
snooker
of hear what he was on about and in
snooker
what relation.
Snooker loopy, not away.
We're not snooker loopy, though.
No, we're rugby league loopy.
That's it. This is, of course, the loverugbyleague.com podcast. and Radio General.
Good day out in Widnes, by the way, and it never rained. That seemed to set the tone for the week after at Manchester.
It did, yeah, yeah. I was impressed, really. I know that there wasn't the biggest of crowds there, but...
No TV.
I did quite enjoy the day in Furness, and, you know, nice to see some of the lesser lights of our game get a big day out.
Championship Shield, was it worth running? It's been a worthwhile thing, don't you think?
I don't know. Is it not the trophy that nobody really wants to win? It's like, yeah, look at what you could have won. It's the bullseye trophy,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah, you could have been in the qualifying nets with Halifax and Lee and Sheffield, but hang on a minute, no, you're going to be in with everybody else who
everybody
can't
make else, it. Yeah. You're in with Doncaster, who unfortunately got relegated quite a few weeks ago.
He did.
In a rebuilding phase, of course. Signed 15 players so far this close season. Wow.
A lot of new signings.
That is a lot of integration, isn't it?
They'll be hoping for better Sundays, won't they?
Much better Sundays than they had last season, anyway.
Before we do talk about the big day out of Manchester, before that, Super League had the big day out at the Lowry.
Well, it was the big night, wasn't it?
The big night out, sorry, for Man of Steel. Zach Hardacre getting the nod.
I'm really pleased with that, to be honest. I think he's been head and shoulders above any of the other backs that have been around in this country this season. I think he's very solid under the high ball, very good on the counter-attack. He's great positioning defensively. I've always been a big fan of Zach, in honesty. And
he's come a long way from his Featherstone days.
He definitely has, but he showed a lot of promise back in those days as well, though, didn't he, Adrian?
Wigan are kicking themselves. He did reveal Wigan first wanted him.
Did Hull want him as well? Was Hull mentioned somewhere along the line?
Warrington.
He probably had a whole host of people lining up at his door waiting to take him away.
Ah, but see, Wigan will counteract that by saying, hang on, we've got Super Sam.
Yeah, yeah, and it's anybody's business where Steve McNamara's going to play Super Sam this coming Test series, but that's for a future final looter, I feel.
Yeah, so well done to Zach Hardacre. He got Man of Steel. Other winners on the night, the hitman was Danny Houghton, 1,359 tackles. Ouch,
that's an amazing amount of tackles. I remember a few years ago, was it Olker at Salford, top at 1,000, but up until the last couple of years, nobody's done that many. I'm sure that's an amazing big piece of work there from Danny Houghton. And to be honest, he's probably in the top three or four hookers in the competition, isn't he?
He certainly is. I like Danny Houghton. I like his work rate. Top metre maker was Alex Wormsley. He galloped. See what I did then. 4,092 metres.
Blimey.
He actually measures all this.
You know, I think it's off these Opta stats,
oh, is
isn't
it?
Yeah, okay, so they're all wearing all these little devices.
There's no one sat in the stand going, that's 1 yard, so, you know, ticking them off per mile.
That's the old fashioned way. That was when I did it at Lee for a season. That was how it all worked.
All right, it's like in the days of Desi Drummond, was
that
it?
That was, yeah? Not your cheeky so and so. It was a bit more odd than that.
Top try scorer, Jermaine McGilvery, scored 27 tries throughout the year. Top gun, they do the kicking differently this season. These days, don't they? It's all about percentage rather than goals kicked. So Kevin Sinfield topped that one, 85%, which is agreed with, but where did he get the 0.37 from?
He probably kicked what they'll have worked it out on decimal places.
Why didn't you put it on 85%?
Well, you know, you like to be accurate at these things. I can see you're not a stat fan like me.
No, I'm yeah.
You know, I mean, I love my stats. I'm going to actually write that one down. I'm going to use it at some tea party somewhere.
Foundation of the Year with Warrington Wolves. Super League Club of the Year, no surprises, with Leeds Rhinos. Young Player of the Year was George Williams at Wigan.
Fantastic.
Coach of the Year, Brian McDermott for the Rhinos. And we've already mentioned it, Man of Steel with Zach Hardacre. We did have the dream team written down somewhere, but we've lost it.
Oh, well, it's okay. None of them got picked internationally anyway, did they? I was just thinking, no, I'm only joking there, by the way. Some of them did get picked internationally, but yeah, big well done there, I think. I know I've already eaten my words, but George Williams again. Fantastic season for the young lad. I think there's many more to come. And interesting that Brian McDermott is now the darling of the Leeds fans, isn't he? At one point, not long after he took over, they wanted to get rid of him.
Send him back to London, they were shouting.
They were. But how many trophies later?
Yeah, exactly.
How many trophies later?
Eat your words, Leeds fans.
Fantastic.
But also, there was an outstanding contribution award to all the guys who were retiring from Super League this year. Gareth Carvel, Aidy Gardner, Lee Gilmore, Wayne Godwin, Carly Lulay, Adrian Moore, Jamie Peacock, Kevin Sinfield, Chev Walker, Paul Wellens. That's a lot of players retiring this year. They're getting their awards for making more than 200 Super League appearances. Going to add one name onto the end of that one, by the way.
Go on.
It was only announced recently. Jamie Langley has decided to pack up as well.
He has, yeah. He's off to London as an academy coach, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Yeah, he's been a good player in his time, Jamie Langley. Yeah, he was very, very good at Bradford, wasn't he? And pretty dynamic back row forward. And, best of luck in your retirement, Jamie.
Now, we mentioned Adrian Morley. He is retiring. He's not doing it just yet. He's going to play one more game for the Rhinos. One more time.
Just one more. Oh, it's going to be more comebacks than Frank Sinatra, isn't it?
He's playing for the Rhinos in their warm-up game against New Zealand when they play the Rhinos ahead of an awesome series international against England.
That'll be because half of the Leeds team's on holiday now, won't they?
Exactly. But he's also playing a game alongside Gareth Carvel and Lee Braids as well at the top of Kilimanjaro.
Where's that come from? I mean, that's just amazing that they're going to actually climb up that great big mountain and play a game of rugby league on top of it.
Yeah, full rules, apparently. That's
full
all.
Rules?
That's what Gareth Carvel was telling me.
Right, okay. What, six tackles and everything?
Yeah, six tackles, touch judges. I wonder if they're going to get the sticks and the ticker tape up there, don't know.
I believe that Rob Hicks is the referee that they took over there.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I wonder whether anybody will get sent off at the top of Kilimanjaro. It's a long way to go to dressing rooms, isn't it?
Players that were going up there as well. I think Lee Braids is joining up there. Paul Wellens, has he gone up there as well?
I think he has, hasn't he? Paul Wellens, obviously, they were all big friends of Steve Prescott, weren't they?
Yeah, it's all in aid of Steve Prescott. By the way, Man of Steel is obviously called the Steve Prescott MBE Award, so that's quite apt.
It is, very apt indeed, yeah, because, I mean, he was a great player, wasn't he, Steve, and did a lot of fundraising for his chosen charity. I'm very sad he's no longer with us.
I was a great player back in my time. I'm quite sad that I wasn't asked to go to Kilimanjaro for a game in rugby league.
Well, I'm sure that they had better touch judges. I think that's what it was.
I could be in the corner flag.
A corner flag. Yeah. You wouldn't have come into play anyway, mate. So
exactly,
would have been no reason for you being there.
Right, the reason I mentioned this, because I caught up with Gareth Carvel, because at the minute, as we speak, Parky, that they're up there, or they're on the way up there for a game of rugby, all in aid of Steve Prescott, and I caught up with him before they set off. Gareth Carvel, you've always loved the challenge of as a player, but to climb Kilimanjaro in 6 days, that's a challenge and a half.
Yeah, bit of a silly challenge. It's five days. I mean, obviously with knowing and playing with Steve Prescott, it's something that I've always wanted to do, you know, sort of give him a bit of a respect sort of thing. And the thing he said, you know, a challenge isn't a challenge unless it's challenging, and this is certainly challenging. Yeah, and as well with the game up at the top there, it's going to be 10 times worse. But we're looking forward to it. Everyone's got behind it. There's 35 of us all together that are doing it, and it's just going to be. I think it's going to be one of those once in a lifetime things that the sense of achievement after is just going to be huge.
Mention the game. How mad's that? A game of rugby league on the top of Kilimanjaro?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a proper full-on game, 80 minutes. You'll have 10 substitutions. Obviously, all the rugby league rules apply, otherwise, you know, the record wouldn't stick. So, yeah, absolutely ridiculous. The pitch is obviously a full-size pitch
as
well.
Not
Well, not exactly. I spoke about it, actually. It's almost like volcanic sand with rocks. So whether or not it's safe, I don't know. We'll see. But again, you know, with the altitude and everything, it's going to be really tough up there. But everyone's up for it, and it certainly is a challenge, that one.
Just when you thought you were retired, you got one more game to the.
Yeah, it seems that way. Yeah. We've to get the posts up there, all the advertising boarding, you know, and everything like that to mark the pitch out, all the rest of it. So it's, I think even those sort of things are going to be a bit of a challenge, but it's going to be good. You know, we'll get up there, we'll play the game, and see what happens.
You mentioned there's 35 age, and Molly's in with the idea as well. So how are you two finding them training?
Yeah, good. I mean, it's difficult for Moz because he's obviously still playing. So with him training through the week, he can't really do much. But to be honest, I think the training that you can do is limited, you know, unless you... The thing that's going to be the problem is time on feet and the altitude, I think. The pace that we go at isn't too quick. The last day, the fifth day, is actually 22 hours solid walking, so that's going to be a big test. So Moz is generally a fit bloke. We've got the 35 people to push each other on, and you know, I can't see it being a problem.
You're obviously not scared of heights as well.
No, well, we'll see. I don't think I've ever been that high, but yeah, so it's going to be good. I mean, we've got 2 days to settle down there. in South Africa, then we go hit the mountain, then we're straight back. And so much to retirement.
And obviously you're looking for the excitement of it all, but to put the excitement really to the tip of it, it's the game at the end of it.
Yeah, that's it. That will be my last game. Moz as well, retiring. There's Brazy in there. I'm playing on the same team as Brazy, so I'll look after him as usual. And we're playing against Moz, so... Lee Brace came out with a comment the other day. There's going to be two world records broken up there. Moz holds the fastest sending off in the world, so Brace is going to go for 5 seconds.
All right, okay. It's all for a worthy cause, and obviously it's all about raising the profile of the Steve Prescott Foundation.
Yeah, that's right. We got sponsored off at Moz's, one of Moz's close friends, actually, Spectrum, Neil Farrow. He sponsored the whole outing, and the Steve Prescott charity has done so much. And for Precky's wish was to climb Kilimanjaro. They did it the other year. So to do that, on his on his hospital bed and things are coming together, it's fantastic.
Should be a great match.
Should be a great match. I love that fact, and you probably heard me giggling a little bit in the background there at one point when he said about going for the fastest sending off ever. Because, yes, I remember when Adrian Morley...
12 seconds, wasn't it?
...did get sent off at international level, wasn't it? Against the Aussies,
yeah.
First tackle put in.
I'm sure Moz remembers it.
Very fondly, I'm sure. It'll be in his book, won't it?
You mentioned the dream team, that's what I'll give you them, shall we? Zach Hardacre, Jermaine McGilvery, Callum Watkins, Michael Shenton, Joe Burgess, Danny Brough, Luke Gale, Alex Wormsley, James Roby, Jamie Peacock, 11th appearance for Jamie Peacock, by the way, Zeb Tia, Liam Farrell, and finally, Adam Cuthbertson.
Yeah, I think Cuthbertson is, when you look at it before with the whole Man of Steel thing, he's very unlucky not to have got a spot in there, isn't he? Because he's been brilliant this season, and the way that he's offloaded and his general game, he's really brought on the prop forwards role, hasn't he, in this country? And there's a lot of players who've deservedly taken that spot in that this year. I think, yeah, you couldn't really look beyond Jamie Peacock. It's unfortunate for the likes of Chris Hill, for example, who's been pretty good over the course of the season for Warrington. But, I think they got most of the choices right. What do you think?
Yeah, I can't agree with that at all.
You can't agree with it.
I'm joking.
You can't agree with it.
There's no witness players in there. That's why I'm disagreeing. Should have been a Kevin Brown in there.
Yeah, where would you play him, though?
Stand-off.
You actually got a stand-off, though. Go back to that team.
Danny Brough.
See, he probably deserved it.
Brown's better than Brough.
You've got to take the Brough with the smooth.
I know we have. Yeah, so well done to them guys. It'll be interesting to see who fills those positions next year. But what a week it was for the Leeds, and they get the dream team, they get Man of Steel, Club of the Year, Coach of the Year. Could they win anything else? Well, they could, because they got their hands on the Grand Final trophy.
Wow, and what a game it was as well.
Great game.
Fantastic game. I mean, usually we come to this sort of stage of the year and it's probably the dullest game on record. But
that's the Charltons. Oh, no, I can't say
You've slagged them off again.
Sorry.
Slagged them off again. You did it in preview as
I
well.
I did it off mic, but this time it was on mic.
I know, I can't believe it. But, I just get the feeling that it really was a tip-top game. Really enjoyable.
Actually, the Charltons were quite enjoyable. What I was laughing about with them was when they were doing the one and only, and there was a guy behind them giving the old fist waving around.
The fist pump.
Himself. Yeah, doing
fist
all that
pump
stuff.
And waving. So how much of the beer do you think he'd have been on?
About half a pint.
Just half?
Half a gallon, maybe.
That's more like it.
Okay, before we talk about it, I was joined on my big day out to Manchester with Yeston Harris, Ray French and David Woods. What a finale this is going to be for the season.
Yeah, I think it's a terrific final. To have consistently the best two teams in the final at Old Trafford is what you want. From a neutral is what you want, and it's not happened for a while. And the two teams that like to play a lot of rugby. So, hopefully we're going to get a fast flowing open game that's going to excite everybody, but we all know grand finals don't always go that way, so I expect it to be very tight today.
Bit of a rarity tonight, it's dry.
Well, yeah, it's the first time for a long time. It always seems to happen, doesn't it? Every grand final, it seems to just start to pour down and drizzling with rain. And hopefully, tonight it's going to stay dry, because we know that Leeds love to play with an offload and love to throw the ball around and love to excite. But we can do as well. So, if it's dry, hopefully we'll see a higher scoring game today.
Leeds have made the grand final like a second home for them. Will that experience count over the inexperience of Wigan not being in the grand finals that often?
Well, I think me for the challenge for tonight for Leeds is to handle the emotion. Unfortunately in sport, you know, emotion is part and parcel of it, and sometimes you handle it, sometimes you don't. And, you know, particularly for, you know, the younger players in the Leeds squad, you know, to actually handle three of the greats of the club that are going to retire after this evening's game, you know, you've got to handle that going into the game, because if you try and play the game before you actually play it, you can be down on energy. And I think that's the only thing that'll get Leeds today. If they look a little bit lethargic, I think it's because it's been too emotional for them in the week.
You've been there as a player. What have they got to do to win it?
Well, I think it's massively important you get in front early. You know, Wigan rely on that very heavily. Whenever they play a game, big games, they like to start quickly. They like to get a foothold in the game very, very quickly and get in front and control the game. And Leeds can't allow them to do that because they're very, very difficult to play against when they do that. So it's about getting your foothold in the game early, being physical for the first 20 minutes, edging yourself in front, and then you can play on your terms. And you know, I think both teams will be trying to do exactly the same, so expect fireworks early on.
So it will be fireworks. But just mention the ones who are retiring. You played alongside Peacock and Sinfield. Are you amazed that they're still going?
Well, no, Jamie was a late starter in his career, so you know, he didn't take that battering bruising in the early stages of his career, but he's certainly taken it at the end of it. And you know, for him to do what he's done in the game, it's, you know, it's phenomenal. And you know, what he's done for his country, what he's done for his club. You know, he's won every individual award as well as every club award. So, you know, he deserves all the accolades he's going to get. And, you know, obviously for Kevin, you know, to have captained the club for so long, to have brought so much success to a club that was starved of it for so long is immense. And, you know, both will go down in history of the club. And Carlo Lilloy as well, you know, perhaps maybe not as widely known by the game, and won't go down in history as widely, but certainly, you know, for Leeds as a club, he'll be going down as an iconic figure of them. You know, over 200 games for the club in the most successful period. So, you know, three greats that are going to retire today.
Great finish halfway stage. It's in Leeds' favour, but talking points obviously got to be the try that gave Leeds the lead.
I thought it was a try. Quite frankly, I thought it was a try. Leeds have been by far the better team. They're far too quick at the moment for Wigan. Wigan just haven't come to terms with the speed. I mean, Danny Maguire's picked up two superb tries, beautiful support play. But the man who's really ripping them apart is Watkins down the right hand side. They can't hold him. Every time he has the ball, he's through.
You mentioned the speed of Leeds, but what a start by Wigan, though.
Well, it was a good start by Wigan. It was a good try as well, and you know, Burgess took it well down the left hand side. But they're not really threatening. They're not really threatening at the moment. You know, it depends how the rest of the game. I think how the pack stands up to the Wigan pack, which is a very fit, aggressive pack. But at the moment, it's going from one side of the field to the other. There's nothing really coming through the middle.
You mentioned the pack, and that Leeds pack is certainly dominating, isn't it?
It's dominating at the moment, and Sinfield is leading it well. I think Jamie Peacock is outstanding. For a man of his age, in his last match, 500 and odd games, it's, you know, truly wonderful. But the basic difference between the two sides, speed.
It's all about speed. Do you reckon Wigan can turn it around, though?
Oh, Wigan can turn it around. 14-6 is nothing in the modern game, and a team can very easily get on the roll. To me, it's a great final. You know, with 70-odd thousand here, it's absolutely packed. The atmosphere is electric. Roll on the next 40 minutes.
Dave, we've just witnessed a cracking end to the season, and Leeds, despite that late comeback from Wigan, early comeback in the second half, Leeds just about did enough to hang on.
Fantastic performance in Leeds, wasn't it? Because, I mean, there was a spell in the second half, the 10-point lead that Leeds had, and then the way Wigan came in that second half and got them and leading by two, I think it was at one stage, you just thought Leeds have gone here. It looked as though Wigan had it all, and then suddenly Leeds produced a try from nowhere, and I don't think Wigan had a sniff after that, did they? You know, even though it was only 2 points, Wigan just had them at Leeds rather than just in a complete headlock for the rest of the game.
Do you think so, because of the energy Wigan put into it at the start of it, maybe lost away a little touch?
I don't know. Maybe it was just a sheer will to win from Leeds, you know? I mean, there's some big performances there. Danny Maguire, I mean, we talk a lot about the players who are leaving, but, you know, Danny Maguire's going to be there for another year or so, and thoroughly deserved his Man of the Match award tonight. And it was, I just thought it was a really high-quality grand final, wasn't it? You know, it was a tense grand final, but there was some high-quality stuff there as well, and I think that's one of the best grand finals we've seen.
Wow, there you have it. One of the best we've seen.
I think he was the best we've seen.
30 seconds, by the way.
Very, very good. You know, Josh Walters, he's etched himself on Leeds history books, hasn't he, with scoring that try right near the end, the winning try. And you can't ask for better, can you? He's only 20, he's got his entire career in front of him. But my vote for man of the match would have actually gone to Zach Hardacre. But you know, Wigan were very good as well, Matty Bowen. And
anyway, that's us done and dusted, Parky, for another regular season. But we're all back in a couple of weeks' time. We're talking internationals.
And we've got plenty to talk about, haven't we, with New Zealand coming over to these shores.
Got the Kiwis coming over. We've got Wales playing Ireland, Scotland,
Wales,
France, Wales. Lee Miners,
yeah, yeah, hopefully they, after a treble.
They could do the treble. They could copy what Leeds have done.
They could, you never know. I hope so, I hope it's true.
But before we move away to that, let's leave the final words to the winners of the Leeds Rhinos. It's Kevin Sinfield, Brian McDermott and Danny Maguire.
Really thankful, really proud. The lads I get to play alongside every week and train with every day have been huge. This year in particular, Mac as coach, backroom staff, everybody involved with the club has created a place where it's been very, very special to play and bow up. They all stay ready. The good thing is about winning the final game is that all through pre-season, especially for these guys now, it'll be there with them. And when times are tough during pre-season, it really spurs you on. Push yourself and go even further. For me, slightly different, but yeah, I'll certainly remember it. I remember them all. But to finish on an ending like tonight is against a great team as well, I must add. And for it to be so tough out there to come through at the end is brilliant.
You know, that's their third grand final in the bounce, and they haven't got a whole host of overseas either. They've got some young British lads, and you know, they've got something going from there. Sean Wayne, it gets mentioned a fair bit, but I'm not sure it gets appreciated that he's made some big calls on not recruiting from overseas and sticking with his young halves and, you know, some young British people. That's to be commended. That's to be respected. They're a tough bunch. Age is irrelevant. They're a tough bunch, and they don't go away. You know, as Kev just said there, to do it against a quality team, it wasn't a damp squib of a game. We weren't too good. And, you know, at times like that, these fellas will tell you they were pushed beyond where they thought they could go. I think I've said this about coaching this team a number of times. It's not one for getting out the slide rule and saying what we should and shouldn't have done. Sometimes, especially the big games here, they don't look like that. You've all on just to get to the end of your set sometimes. You've all on just maybe complete a defensive set without letting them make a clean break, and we got bodies all over the place, and we had some really tired people, and it's been such an exhausting season after Wembley. I still don't think we've recovered from Wembley, by the way. We still don't have that many training. We're limited people training, so those games aren't won through execution of skill. I know your young coaches probably don't want to hear that. They're not. They're won through endeavour and will. With this group, anyway, they are. Endeavour and will and determination, just toughness. They're a tough group of men. You know, these two in particular get ran at more than anybody else, and get put with that much cosh. Yet they put themselves on that platform every single time they get the ball to say, oh, I'll try and execute another play, even though I know I'm going to come off worse and get put on my backside. Yeah. It's more than what a prop goes through, it's more than what the outside backs go through. These fellas are on the front line receiving all the bullets and still come up with the goods, and that's true toughness.
Today, you know, I think we was all a bit emotional. We felt a little bit drained early on, speaking to Kev before, and personally, I just, you know, three of my best mates are not going to be playing with me again next year, and psychologically, you try and put that to the back of your mind, but it's always there. You know, you want to send them out on the best terms, and you know, fortunately, you know, enough we were able to do that today, and through sheer determination, sheer hard work, and it'll be weird not having Sinfield shirt next to my shirt on a Friday night. Now things are going to be changing. I just really wanted to play as well as I could and run my blood to water for JP, Kev and Kylie, because you know they really deserve to go out on a high tonight, and thankfully they did. It's going to be strange. You know, we're going to have a bit of a transition. I think they are irreplaceable. You know, I think before we start, you know, we need to say that, you know, JP, Kev, Kylie, you know, they're not going to be replaced. It's about starting afresh, and people that are going to come in and take their shirts start their chapter and start their career. And you know, Liam Sutcliffe's already been in and around the team, and you know, he's going to have a massive boost to fill in Kev's, but you know, he's a young lad that's going to, you know, got a good future in the game, and obviously JP, a warrior, you know, it's going to be impossible to fill that role that he's played for a number of years, but you know, it's an opportunity for other players to show what they're made of and stand up.
You're listening to the Feel Better Station.
Radio. General.